On Tuesday, Barack Obama was elected the 44th president of the United States. When he's inaugurated in January, he'll be the first person of color to hold office. According to exit polls on Election Day, over 95% of African Americans voted for Obama, as did two-thirds of Hispanics and two-thirds of people over 30. As the results came in, people across the country poured into the streets to celebrate. While many progressives have been expressing great hopes for the Obama presidency, others are less optimistic. We spoke with two U.S. activists to get their reaction to Obama's win. Robert Jensen is an author, anti-war activist, and professor of journalism at the University of Austin in Texas. Lisa Moore is a longtime community organizer in the immigrant rights movement, currently living in Vancouver. Jane Williams spoke with both of them yesterday. She spoke first with Robert Jensen.
What is the significance of the election of an African-American as president of the United States?
Well, certainly it is a historic event, as everyone in the United States has been saying, for a country, a white supremacist country, not only historically white supremacist, but white supremacist today as well, to elect a person from a formerly enslaved population is a very important shift in consciousness in the United States. It would be irresponsible not to celebrate that. On the other hand, I think it would be equally irresponsible not to recognize the limitations in the election of Barack Obama and to look at the bigger picture and the nature of the system, much of which remains unchanged.
Now, people were out celebrating in the streets across the United States on Tuesday night. How did you feel when Obama won?
Well, I felt that same mix of feelings that I just discussed. There was a kind of elation. I was born in 1958 into an apartheid society. I never really imagined that a person of African descent would be elected president of the United States. It was hard not to feel almost a kind of giddiness over that. At the same time, I come from the political left, and I'm trained to look at systems and structures of power. And in fact, I think that the systems and structures of power in place remain the same. And I think Barack Obama, well aware of that, ran a campaign not to challenge those systems, but to try to sell himself to a country, and especially a white dominant country, in a way that didn't challenge. And I think we have to keep that in mind because, you know, this is not the first formerly apartheid society that has elected a black person. We should remember the South Africa example. It was equally hard to imagine, of course, a black person taking control over South Africa. Yet when Mandela did, it was another of those historic moments. But look at what happened in the aftermath. The actual conditions under which most poor black South Africans live are no better. In some cases, they're worse today than they were under white apartheid rule. That tells us that if the system doesn't change and we only change the color of the people in charge of that system, the real lives of ordinary people are not guaranteed to improve.
A lot of activists in the United States are expressing a great deal of hope about Obama's presidency, yet you evidently don't share that hope.
I'm a progressive left feminist activist. Barack Obama gives kind of rhetorical support to some of those concepts, but is in fact a right-leaning centrist. He's very much in the mold, I think, of the Bill Clinton-era Democrat. And Bill Clinton, we should remember, was elected in 1992 on the promise of taking the country in a progressive direction, and in fact he moved the country to the right. And in fact, it was Bill Clinton's administration that paved the way for some of the worst policies that would come to their full fruition in the Bush administration. So it's not to me, it's not a question of hope. It's a question of being realistic. When one is realistic, it doesn't mean one gives up work, especially the long-term work of trying to build a better society. But I think that work is enhanced if we're realistic about the nature of the world we live in and the systems that govern that world. I think, you know, it took about 24 hours to see the evidence of this. The first major appointment that Barack Obama announced was to put Rahm Emanuel, a right centrist hawk on foreign policy, in the very important position of chief of staff. Well, Barack Obama didn't need to do that to win votes or to curry favor with some particular group. He did that because that's his politics. I find it hard to be, giddy about that particular aspect of Barack Obama.
No, a lot of people are pointing to the tremendous amount of grassroots organizing and energy and even money donations that went into getting Obama elected, and seeing that as a force that will continue to create change in the United States. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that's an open question. I hope that that, in fact, plays out, and I hope that energy and those resources move away from the Democratic Party and into real community organizing. But I don't think that's self-evident that that will happen. What we just saw was not a movement. What we saw was a campaign. We saw a political campaign, very highly orchestrated with enormous sums of money, a political campaign that in some ways was no different than other contemporary campaigns. It was based on marketing, based on public relations, based on advertising, not based on a real argument for significant change in the United States. It was image and rhetoric. It was not substance. Now, again, I don't want to undermine the importance of the fact that the United States did elect a black man, but I also think we have to be honest about how that happened and what it signals. I think that the energy that we've seen, if, for instance, massive numbers of young people registered and who actually went to the polls and voted, that's all to the good, but I think it immediately has to be redirected away from the cult of Barack Obama and, from more importantly, from the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is not, and for a long time has not been, a vehicle for progressive change in this country. I think we have to think about politics in a different way, and I think that that is the most important thing that those of us on the left progressive side can say, is not to undermine the election or the importance of the election, not to personalize it by attacking Barack Obama. Quite frankly, I don't care much about Barack Obama. I care about trying to shift those systems that currently structure the country in which I live, all of which are rooted in oppression. And I think that is what has to change. So we're talking not just about race. We're also talking about gender. We're talking about the nature of patriarchy. We're talking about the predatory nature of contemporary capitalism, which is inconsistent with any conception of justice. And importantly, we're talking about stepping back from the role of the United States as an imperial power. Well, when I look at the policies of Barack Obama, I see no critique of capitalism, and I see no hint of stepping back from that imperial posture. So we have a lot of work to do, and I don't think Barack Obama is going to lead the way. Let's hope that the energy mobilized can be applied to those questions.
So how are those shifts going to come about if they're not going to come about through electoral policies, politics, and electing someone like Barack Obama? How are they going to come about?
Well, I think the election of Barack Obama is meaningful in that it keeps us from having to spend 4 more years fighting an even more reactionary kind of regime. So in that sense, the election is not trivial either. But politics, of course, as you're hinting, happens at more than just the electoral level. I think there are two other levels of political engagement we can think about. One is traditional movement politics, whether it's the anti-war movement, the labor movement, trying to radicalize both those to not just contest the war in Iraq or contest the wages and benefits, but also to argue for much more radical change. I think the feminist movement and the civil rights movement still are incredibly important. There's another level of politics, however, that I think we have to come to terms with, and that's at the community level, recognizing that the existing system we live in, the high energy, high technology system in which we live, is a system in permanent decline. And we have to not only think about public policy, we have to think about how we're going to reorganize our lives. And I think that almost has to happen at the local level. So I would suggest that people think about politics at three levels. One is electoral politics, where, in my case, I vote. I think elections have importance in certain ways, but I try not to overemphasize them. Instead, I try to contribute to movements. But also, I think, to also start to understand that we have to come to that local level to build the networks, the skills that are going to be necessary as this culture goes through the profound shifts that I think inevitably it will. Whether those shifts are coming next year, in 5 years, 10 years, I can't predict, and no one else can. But I do think we have to come to terms with the fact that economically, ecologically, politically, the system we live in the United States is in permanent decline, and we have to start planning for what comes after when that decline is irreversible.
Jan Williams spoke with Robert Jensen yesterday. Robert Jensen is a professor of journalism at the University of Austin in Texas. Lisa Moore worked for over 10 years as a community organizer with the Women's Immigrants Rights Group in San Francisco, and she's currently living in Vancouver.
I want to start out by asking you the same question I asked Robert Jensen, and that is, what do you think the significance is of the election of an African-American as president of the United States?
I think it's hugely significant. And I, that night when I was watching the returns and watching Obama and his daughters and his wife and then his extended family up on the stage, I was so struck by that visual and how it's something that is we've haven't seen that. And here we are 40 years or so after the end of the Civil Rights Movement, which is in historical terms just the blink of an eye. It's nothing. And watching that visual on the stage and thinking this is something that I, for one, really never thought that I would see anytime soon, or maybe even, you know, in my lifetime. It's a visual that's so different from anything that we've seen before. And as I'm thinking about who really was behind this massive mobilization of people to elect him, and thinking about all of the youth, the young people of color, and people of color in general, who in a lot of cases were involved in this campaign, or involved in a campaign for the first time in their lives to elect someone that they could really identify with in some ways, that in and of itself, I think, is hugely significant. And there are other things that strike me about watching Obama and that night, watching him on stage and listening to his acceptance speech, that this is also the first time in very recent memory that there is someone who is not part of a sort of anti-intellectual trend that's been very much a part of politics recently. This is someone who is very articulate and very thoughtful, someone who has a background in community organizing, and which for me is very significant in terms of strategy and values. And so thinking about all of these young people and young people of color who've not only elected an African-American president, but have also elected someone who is a role model in a lot of ways that are very different from what we've seen in definitely in the Bush administrations and in recent politics and sort of visions of what it means to be a leader. This is a vastly different role model.
What do you think it was that motivated people to get so mobilized behind Barack Obama?
I think coming from a perspective, as I do, of organizing around social justice issues and economic justice issues, I think for so long people have felt, and we've all felt, very much on the defensive and have felt like we're constantly fighting to even make a dent against what has felt like a brick wall of policies that are in direct opposition to things that we believe in and are fighting for. And I think that for a lot of people, Obama's candidacy represented, first of all, a dramatic change in terms of honesty and integrity and sort of forthrightness about where he was coming from, but also the opportunity to at least create some kind of a chink in the wall of very, very devastatingly conservative policies. So I think that for a lot of people, this was both, you know, an act of desperation to try to change things in some way, but also a glimmer of hope that with this very different, at least very different picture of politics, there would be the chance to actually achieve some kind of progressive change in the future. If not now, then at least building towards something in the long run.
There's been no shortage of right-wingers celebrating Obama's victory, too. Margaret Wente in the Globe and Mail is one Canadian example. Why is that, do you think?
I think, I mean, Margaret Wente being one, but also in my mind, Ward Connerly, who is a black neoconservative in California, who's been one of the main opponents of affirmative action. I also know that he was overjoyed because in his mind, this means an end to racism. It means that the American dream has been achieved. It means that there's no need for affirmative action policies anymore. And I think that is very dangerous, and one reason why it was very convenient for a lot of conservatives to be able to use this moment in order to prove their point about racism. I also think that as a sort of strategic move too, there clearly are a lot of moderates and conservatives who saw this as an opportunity to be able to attach themselves to a moderate candidate. And that's when I said that the honesty that he has displayed in this throughout this campaign, he's never portrayed himself as a radical candidate or even a progressive one. He is a centrist. He is a moderate. And I think that the corporate interests, the business lobbies, those who knew that this was sort of a moment whose time had come, felt the need to contribute to that and become a part of it, and then hold him accountable to their large donations and their support. And I think that's something that's important to realize, that he's now going to be torn between the people who have given him millions and millions of dollars and expect a return on that and expect to be able to have his ear, and then the masses of people who have supported him for very, very different reasons. So I think, you know, in terms of conservative support for him, it's both a strategic position around race in the United States and also around the reality of the challenges that he will face and who he'll be beholden to.
How do you think activists in the States will be approaching Obama's presidency?
I think most people who I talk to and am in touch with really see this as, I think we all have cynicism around the importance even of electoral politics and what it can achieve, and see this as sort of a balancing act between knowing that this isn't the revolution and this isn't what we've all been waiting for, but it's a huge, huge opportunity. And I think that responsibility is felt very strongly by people who have been doing organizing around social justice and economic justice and racial justice issues for a long, long time, that this is an opportunity of historic proportions to have someone elected with a mandate for economic and social change. And elected really very much based on this rhetoric of hope and massive change of the way politics are done. This is now something that it's all of our responsibilities to make sure that happens, and to push him not only to do what he says he will do, but to go way beyond that, to actually achieve the kind of change that we've all been working for a very long time. And in terms of the numbers of people, I heard that there were 2 million volunteers who were out on the streets on election day working on Obama's campaign. And in a lot of cases, those are people who've never worked on a campaign before, who've never seen themselves as being powerful political actors before, people who have been marginalized for their entire lifetimes and generations. And now this is a huge number of people who feel emboldened and empowered by having won something. And I think it's the responsibility of community organizations to take that and build on that and involve those people in the kind of organizing that's been going on for a long, long time. So I think that's something that organizations need to sort of seize onto, this moment of celebration, because we haven't celebrated anything for a long, long time. There haven't, the images of people out in the street dancing in the street and celebrating, there's a huge power in that, and that's something that needs to be channeled and needs to be really built on as we try to push for real justice in the long term.
Jane Williams spoke with Lisa Moore yesterday. Lisa Moore is a longtime community activist in the immigrants' rights movement in San Francisco, and she's currently based in Vancouver. And now we're going to listen to Gaetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, and we're listening to Bio e Temporale.